money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm always ready.
Oh, she's really ready this morning.
I was not ready the other night when you dropped like a bombshell and I was tired and it was 8:30 and I literally looked at you and said, I cannot talk about this right now. And it was related to, well, it was related to our business, but.
Okay. Well, it was related to money. So I don't even remember that. So welcome to the show where Reb confesses one thing and Dave doesn't remember anything about it. But welcome to the show. Here we are. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. We're in the studio alone, just the two of us today. I always enjoy doing these shows Friday before a long weekend. So there's, here we are.
And Friday before your birthday.
Oh, Friday before my birthday.
You're going to be a senior in the U.S. age bracket.
Okay.
So the U.S. Well, would call you a senior.
I'm feeling 29 already. So here we are. So
he's not 65. Take a decade off. He's going to be 55. I'm older than he is. So
sharing with the world how old I am.
Yep. I'm doing it on purpose.
Okay. Way to go. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Yeah. Thank you. So today's show, just to do some housekeeping, sponsored by Ardron Landscapes. If you are thinking about doing some outside, I'm going to say reorganizing of your outside space, so maybe beautifying your outside space, and you live within the south of the city, so that would be Kempville area, Merrickville area, Winchester area, along the south side of the city, then call Keith and the team over at Ardron Landscapes. They just do an amazing job. We had them do some work at our place and love it every time we sit on our front
deck. I just drove off
the
yard today and I was like, oh, I love my front yard.
So, and I'll just give you their website, ardronlandscapes.ca. So ARDRON, A-R-D, two R's in there, ARDDON. I can say that. Wait, I think I can say
you
that.
You already got it wrong.
ARDRON.
Ardron. Yeah, you got it right that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll have it in the show notes.
So it'll be in the show notes.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Reb's got a story to start off. So,
I have a story to start off. And I'm like, what's the story? What is the story? I was actually, I'm going to start with Habakkuk. And you guys are like, what? I'm turning the radio off. Do you know how many verses are in the Bible about money and possessions and the rich? And the warnings to the rich and woe to us who stockpile things and trust in our stuff and our money and our chariots and horses and not trust in the Lord. Do you know how many verses? There's a gazillion.
Well, I know there's 2,350 verses that speak specifically about the general topic about money. I'm not sure I've done that research to say how many speak directly to the rich people about how to do it.
So the story, you know how you go online and you watch these home reno shows or these, right, you know, people try and get followers. Well, there's this couple somewhere in the world. I don't know. They got this beautiful, beautiful location, but the house was so run down. Mm-hmm. And they've have a house built on rock, literally. Mm-hmm. And they had to redo, they have to redo everything basically. They had to use steel beams and all of that, girders and all of that. Yeah, like it's quite a job. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they got a deal on the house because it was falling apart. But mm-hmm. I mean, it was overgrown with trees. Trees were growing inside the house. Like it was all kinds of things like that. And when we let our house, like it's such a great visual picture to me. What work is involved for them to get it to a space where they can live in it? And they got it to a part where, and they put the windows in and it changed everything. It's a metaphor. And you guys know, you probably, well, maybe not all of you scroll on the internet or whatever and look for these things, but I find them fascinating because it's such a metaphor to me. And I think of the verses of the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock. And in one of the texts, and I think it's in Luke It says that he dug, Jesus says he dug deep to build his foundation. And of course, we sing that song, the wise man, you know, when we were kids. The foolish man, however, builds his house on sand and it gets washed out. I mean, sometimes as a house like that I'm describing that I've been mm-hmm. watching, you know, they have a strong foundation. They just, the core is there. And some of us in our finances have a great core, but maybe there's some overgrowth. Maybe so there's some relooking and preparation we need to go back to get our house in good standing. You know, some of us have.
I'd even maybe take that metaphor a little bit further when, you know, we think of this couple you're talking about, right? So this story and saying, you know, somewhere along the line, they had to make the decision. Do we tear the entire thing down and just build something new? Or do we take the foundation that is there and build on top of it again, right? You know, to in a sense, we can renovate the stuff because the foundation is safe. And there's definitely a metaphor for our finances where, you know, in a lot of cases, we can look at the finances and go, okay, there's a point in my life where I kind of had to make that decision. There's just so much overgrowth, and this is very personal, I think, in the sense of the decision comes to, well, if I can recognize and that the foundation is firm, then we can together, you and I as a couple, can rebuild our financial lives together. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds of stories of people who everything was overgrown. Everything was falling down. It looked like a disaster.
But it was like a regrouping and the work was put in. And I mean, and everybody has their own story.
And their own capacity. Like that's where I was going with that. You know, this is kind of saying, and, you know, I looked at it as a coach and kind of went, okay, well, maybe bankruptcy is the way to, you know, we'll tear everything down. We'll rebuild. Maybe that's the way to go. And then to have couples come back and say, you know what? We were given that option, but we're looking at it and we're going, we want to put the hard work in. We know that it's going to look different. It's going to take some time. We're not going to do that reset. And to be honest, there's no wrong answer here. Again, if someone chooses bankruptcy, that is the ability to reset. Mm-hmm. And the same with the house. There would have been nobody would have judged them to say, you know what? They're tear the whole thing down. They're building something new. Okay, that's what they chose to do, or they chose to take maybe the harder route, because I think that might be a little bit, we'll say the more surprising route.
I don't know. I mean, again, it's their story, you only get so much on a reel or a video,
short story, yes.
Right? You get a short story, but I was also thinking about it because I've been reading, as I said, in Habakkuk, and Habakkuk, at least I think it. Did I mention Habakkuk already? Yeah. I did. I'm like, did I mention that? So I've been reading in Habakkuk, and you know, there's a great warning to the rich about how they're building. They're taking advantage. They're violent. They're greedy. The text you can go read. It's a short book, so you can go and read it yourself. But what had me interested was. The energy you're putting into all of this is like going up in smoke, really. Mm-hmm. You're putting all this energy in and it's really coming to nothing. It's just burning up.
Right, right.
And that verse jumped out at me. But then another one did as well. And in the message.
So you're in Habakkuk 2.
I'm in Habakkuk, yes.
Habakkuk 2, chapter 2.
And it's there's a lot of words about greed and about grabbing and looting and living it up and thinking you're the captain of your own, you know, ship, the king of the mountain, and you're above everything and you're engineering your, and what made me think of the story of the wise and foolish man building his house. Cause in Habakkuk in the Message translation, it says, you know, you've engineered the ruin of your own house, and ruining others, you've ruined your self. You've undermined your foundations, rotted out your own soul. The bricks of your house will speak up and accuse you. The woodwork will step forward with evidence. Mm. I mean, and then you're like, Rev, that's so discouraging today. Like, why? It's summer. We should be not thinking about this. But I was thinking about it. It's like, how do we prepare the foundation? So whether we have a strong foundation, whether we need some work on the foundation in our finances, there's a preparedness that actually I've been speaking to you about, Dave, that I'm really more and more convicted of in my own life, but also concern that we're not prepared financially.
Right.
For our lives. And some of us don't know how to do it. Some of us have never been taught. Right. We are in our 50s and we're struggling. No one's taught us how to save. And for some of you, that sounds like, what do you mean? How is that? Like, you know, of course, just live on less than you make, put the extra in your savings account and you'll be good. Don't go into debt. You know, it sounds simple, but there's so much more around that. And that preparedness, you know, some folks, I think I've also been thinking about it because we get folks like, oh, well, I want to invest. I'm like, great. We're not financial advisors. We're financial coaches. Oh, yes, but I have some debt. So I really need to know, can you help me with cash flow? Sure. But I really want to get to the investment part. And we're like, yes, but you're not quite ready because your house is not on steady ground, and we need to get you with a firm foundation.
Yeah. And I think this, you know, this idea of being really clear what you're preparing for, because again, some of the things that we prepare for financially are things that we might recognize, but don't have control over. And again, I'm going to use another metaphor, but here it is. You know, when we get we all love to talk about the weather. We all love to look at our apps. Reb and I have a competition as to whose app is better. Yes.
And I listen to Connor Mockett. Right? I'm from Winchester. Connor Mockett's our local weather guy. So
we look at the weather, and why do we do that? So that we can get some information so that we can prepare. Do I need to bring an umbrella? Do I, you know, can I go for that walk? Is there tornadoes coming? Like, you know, do I need to put shutters over the windows right in my house? Like, what do I need to prepare for the weather that I'm going to experience today?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We do that. That's simple. In fact, we do that almost without thinking, you know, we grab the phone, we check the weather. Oh, this is what it is. And then we talk about it.
I know, I do it every day.
We do it all the time. And in the same way with our finances, the question that we're really kind of considering today in this conversation is, what is it that you need to prepare for, that you personally see, that you are like, we need to get our house in order. And this is why, because if we can clearly articulate to each other and clearly be on the same page as to why and what we're preparing for, then we begin to work together. We begin to make different decisions. We begin to look at life a little bit differently. And this manifests itself in all kinds of ways. I have almost every month, I would say, I'll have a conversation with somebody about preparing for the education of their children. Mm. It happens all the time.
Like financial financial literacy for your kids?
Well, more so like our kids are going to go to university. So there's an anticipation there. There's a conversation that's happened usually between the husband and the husband and wife, the spouse, and saying, you know what? We want, our desire for our kids is to see them go to post-secondary education. We also know the cost of it. Like, you know, the cost is high. So, you know, can we figure out how we can prepare for that? And we do that financially. We look at the finances, but we sometimes don't do that in the day-to-day stuff. We don't do that quite in the, every day, you know, so we end up spending money that on stuff that doesn't really fit into that. Well, what are we preparing for? And we had talked a little bit about some verses in Timothy and Timothy, this is Paul writing to Timothy and saying, listen, Timothy, I'm your mentor. you're my mentee. You know, you're the one, and you need to prepare. You need to be a soldier. You're going to do this. You need to. There's some real direction that Paul gives. And
well, he's not telling him to be a soldier. He's telling him to look at the, as a metaphor, look at the soldiers, look at the farmers, look at the, what's the other one? I can't remember.
To take those as examples. And what Paul doesn't say in the Timothy verses is what Timothy's preparing.
The athlete, the farmer, and the soldier.
But he doesn't tell us what Timothy's preparing for. Really, in those Timothy verses, I mean, Paul is teaching him how to lead a congregation, and Paul is teaching him, but he's saying you need to be thinking this way
and be focused, and because be focused. A soldier, it's, he said that the soldier doesn't occupy himself with the things that are happening in the world. Like if you know God's asking you to leave a legacy for your kids, then you put that purpose on your door, you put it in the foundation of your finances. And then you know you're not living on less than you make. You know that the cash flow is leaking somewhere. So if you know the legacy is part of the goal, the purpose, then you're going to start learning about, oh, I got to get my cash flow together. I got to figure out where the money's leaking. I've got to track my spending. I've got to make a plan. I have to look at my values and what's important. For some of you, it's for storing up for your kids for the future. For others of you, you just really want to invest in your local congregation. You want to invest in kingdom work. So you're thinking, man, if that's a goal, you know, one of our clients at our Unleashed workshop the other night, she brought it up. I'm like, we haven't even done the seminar yet, but she goes, you know, without vision of people perish. Mm-hmm. Like that's in the Proverbs. And she brought it up and I'm like, oh man, and she said, we haven't been living with a vision for our family. And now we want that to change. And that's a piece of the foundation. You're saying what you got to know why you're doing what you're doing and why are you getting prepared? And it's not so key, I mean, to me,
we're just talking about us, but if somebody tells me, hey, Dave, you know, get prepared. And I can't think of anything, but just somebody tells me get prepared and it doesn't land inside my heart or my mind, I'm not going to action it. I'm probably not even going to talk to you about it. But if I'm walking out to the truck and I see, you know, again, we're going away for a weekend and I'm taking a longer trip. Well, I'm going to check the oil. I'm going to check I'm going to look around at the tires.
There's a little bit more intention actually in your care for your, because of what the destination.
Well, and I want to prepare for the trip that we're taking. And even if that's all I do is walk around the truck to make sure that it's safe and all the things are right. And why do I do that? Because I don't want to be stuck on the side of the road.
Right.
I don't want to, hey, I could have avoided this. And what we know about, I'll say sometimes when we don't think about that in terms of a preparedness way, we end up spending a lot more money, a lot more energy, a lot more stress. And we look, and then we have guilt and shame because we go, well, I actually could have filled up the tire with air before we left.
You used to, when you ran the shop, when you were in the garage for your family, I mean, you always said, come in and do maintenance so that you don't, it's a proactive way to care for your vehicles. And one of the things we were talking about also about this preparedness, like, do you think about preparation? I don't think we think about preparation all the time. Although, like this morning, at the recording of the show, there's a tornado warning coming. Right. So, you know, you do certain things outside so they don't.
Yeah, you bring in the chairs.
Right. And you do that because you hear the warning. And we're not here to build fear. We're very conscious that we want to bring hope. Because God, the hope of all of this is that he wants to do this with us. He's going to nudge your family how to get prepared. prepared. And that might be a little different today than it will be for your neighbor. So we can't look at our neighbors either. But, you know, some of the things that help us get prepared are having an emergency cushion, knowing how to, you know, track, like really look at where is my money going and does it line up with my values? Is this what I really want? Like thinking about, you know, what are we preparing for? Oh, well, you know, all my money is going to, you know, other family members, and I'm not putting anything away for my children's education. And that's really important to me. You know, then you can do some tweaking and shifting, but also the Lord wants to do it with us.
100%.
He does. And psychologically, you know, a lot of us, that word we were reading it about, that word budget, what was that? The anti-budget phenomenon. There's some people who have such an aversion to the word budget. And of course, we talk about this at More Than Enough all the time. It's in the language. We talk about a spending plan.
I actually hate the word budget.
I know you do.
Because to me, a budget, been said right now, I hate the word budget. I love the idea of a plan, of a spending plan that I get to spend money, but also that a plan has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So when I make a plan, I can, you know, I start at it and then halfway through or as I'm going through, I'm checking to make sure that I'm on target, that I'm moving in the direction, because at the end, the plan is going to get me where I want to go, like the finance.
So I just looked it up, the budget resistance phenomena. And if you want to be prepared and you don't like the word budget, just chuck it out the window. Don't, you know, you're making a plan.
Join Dave in his mission around spending plans.
And you know why? Psychologically, there's an aversion to it because it connotates that you're going to have to be restricted and deprived. Kind of like when we say, well, we're on this diet or that diet. Mm-hmm. And Dave, over the years, these 18, 20 years has said, this is not about financial dieting. This is actually today, this is about financial preparedness. And what are you as an individual? What is you as a family preparing for? What are your values? What are the values and goals? We've had a show, I think that was with Amanda this year about values and why values are important and how they're different than goals. But you need both. You need to know your values and you have to, we encourage you to set goals so you know why you're doing what you're doing. Anyway, I found that thing funny about the budget. Because when Dave became a financial coach, I was like, oh, great. We're going to have to do a budget. And a budget feels like I'm tied to a chain with a big ball at the end and I'm going to get cast into the uttermost parts of the sea and I'm going to be stuck to this thing for 12 months a year. And I start talk to him about that. And I'm like, oh man. And he's like, no, Reb, we're going to plan and we're going to do it in an 8-week cycle. And we're going to look ahead and we're going to look at what's important and we're going to set it in our plan, how we're going to spend the money and what we need to spend the money on and what we want to spend the money on. And I was like, oh, and I tell you, that was the best thing ever. That was just the best truth. I don't know, a tool also, because preparedness, you know, for you. So I'm going to ask you, like, there are things that we prepare More Than Enough.
Right.
And I thought maybe we could mention a few of those things today. Like sure. At More Than Enough, we're a financial coaching company. For those of you who don't know, that's what we do in our day job, not just do podcasts. Mm. And I can say that we're not always great at thinking about this as preparing, but when I was looking at this show, I was like, well, what actually do we do even without a conscious label that we are preparing to help people in financial literacy, in the coaching world, in the mortgage world? You know, you talk often with people in mortgages, especially folks who want to invest, you're looking at their whole financial picture, you are helping them prepare. But what are some of the things that we're doing in this season to help folks?
So before I get into the specifics, I really want to touch on that, bringing the Lord and in our questions about the future to the Lord. The future is God's domain. Jesus said, listen, tomorrow has enough trouble about it. And so as we think about being prepared, there's this element of I'm doing it and the future's in front of it. And I really want to, you know, it is give release to say, when we bring our questions before the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to do to prepare financially for the next week, the next month, the next year, the next season, whatever that is? The Lord is very generous in giving that wisdom. The Lord is very generous. In fact, so for a lot of us, as we get rolling through life, that's one of the things that we have to pull ourselves back and remind ourselves to do on a regular break. Every spending decision, a spiritual one, because the Lord knows what you need to do, what you personally need to do to prepare for the next season for He has. Mm-hmm. He might have you say, you know, you are looking at your spending plan, you're making it, and you're like, I think we should put some more money away in savings during this period. Mm-hmm. And so you go, okay, Lord, like, okay, we'll rearrange things. We'll move things around so that we can save some more money. And then lo and behold, your neighbor calls you up and there's something broken and they're like looking for, and you're like, wait a minute, we have some extra money that the Lord said for us to put away. Right. And Lord, is this the reason why? I could have never projected right, that. Could right. have never known that.
He knows things, but basically. The Lord he knows does. Things that we don't know. Right. And He nudges our hearts to it.
So the things that the Lord is nudging mm-hmm. to our hearts more than enough is actually part of this preparedness season, in the sense of saying, when we started More Than Enough 18 years ago, we were saying the interest rates are going to go up and your cash flow is going to get harder and things are going to get more expensive. And then 18 years went by or 15 years went by and it didn't really happen. And here we are. This is the season we were anticipating 15, 18 years ago. So what have we been doing this last year is helping to prepare the church to get their house in order. And what are we doing in More Than Enough? We're still doing the same thing. We're putting our own mm-hmm. financial health in order in the business. We're training more coaches. So we're in coach training mode. And if you happen to be interested mm-hmm. in this and you love the podcast, you're like, oh, how can I impact the generation of the people around me? And coaching might be awake. Call up the office.
Because we're doing training.
And we're doing some training.
Starting in September, yeah.
Exactly. And join us and say, yeah, that can be part of maybe something you want to do. We've got a video series coming out. So, Reb, you wrote a book during COVID, the COVID book. It's launched. It's done. That was part of it. But now we got a video series coming out. We really mm-hmm. feel that is helping the church in small groups, be able to prepare for the season that we're in. We've got, we're using technology. So we've got an automated eFit program that if you're like, I just want to do it all by myself and I want to have a self-directed financial fitness program, we have eFit that we
and
can
that,
do
and that. And that comes, a bonus is that comes with meeting with a coach once a month in a group mm-hmm. session. Mm-hmm. So that's also really great. So we've been preparing a lot for financial literacy and in our financial coaching world. Mm-hmm. It's what we're doing so that we can offer you help so that you can prepare mm-hmm. Your own financial houses.
Yeah. And that's it. The show's over. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness.
There's a few more things I wanted to say, yeah. But hey.
Here we are. So I want to give a shout out to Ardon Landscaping yeah. and Allah, and just say thank you so much for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you for listening and just encourage you that get together if you're a couple and start preparing for what the Lord has for you in this next season. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.